WNST, Towson Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We're going to be taking the Maryland Crab Cake Tour back out on the road this week. We're going to be at the State Fair on Thursday and then celebrating the 4th after the 4th on the 7th over in Dundalk at Costas Inn. It's all brought to you by our friends at the Maryland Lottery in conjunction with our friends at Goodwill and Window Nation. It is, it's been a rough week around here. I love most of the members of the Super Bowl 35 team. I've re-released Purple Rain 1 this month. I was in the process of doing that when we lost Goose last week. I have been slowly tracking down many people who, even when they're not coaching ball in the NFL and coaching college, this is still a little bit of downtime. Marvin Lewis joins us now from the East Coast, not the West Coast, to talk about the pride of New Jersey. And Marv, I know you and I didn't get a chance to get together, but I saw in the aftermath of all of this, we were together at the Meyerhoff in the same room. The one picture that the Baltimore Symphony Orchestra put up from the Meyerhoff, you're hugging Goose on the stage at the end of all of this. I didn't spend enough time with any of you a month ago. And obviously this is an incredible tragedy to everybody involved with the Super Bowl 35 family, everybody involved with the Ravens.
Yeah, it obviously comes just after everybody being together a month ago, or a lot of us being together a month ago and having an opportunity to catch up for a couple of hours. Literally when I got into the hotel in Baltimore, midnight Sunday night, Goose and his kids were headed up in the elevator. His son Anthony saw me. They came back down, so we ended up visiting in the lobby for about an hour till about 1 a.m. And then obviously the next day we got to spend time together. So I just feel so bad, so sad for his children that they're going to miss their father. And their father was obviously such a huge personality and meant so much to all of us.
Goose coming to Baltimore. I knew you before I knew Goose, but man, I went back, started looking at the pictures, and you know, I know the timeline. I've written the books and all that, but he was really the first guy, right? I mean, like, and he was Ted's guy, not your guy necessarily, but I mean, Ray and John come in, honestly, they get drafted into this. You chose to come here, but then you had to get other people to choose to come here. I spoke to Rod Woodson earlier this week, and you know, Rod vividly remembered showing up and seeing Goose here, and the leadership that sort of came off the boat from Indianapolis. I went back and did a little revisionist history about how he wound up at the barn the first night. I found old notes and different things. He was a force of nature from the beginning. From the minute he showed up, you kind of told me he was going to be that sort of life force for the locker room. But he was the first guy that said in his New Jersey, I'm going to go to Baltimore. We're going to win a championship. And other people believe that it forced Rod to believe, and then Shannon and Brian. I mean, all the people that came later, you were first, but Goose.
Yeah. You know, Tony.
This wasn't far behind.
He wasn't very far. And I remember the free agent visit because all he wanted was Maryland crabs.
One of the beauties of telling these stories about Goose is I sometimes want to cry, but it's impossible to tell a Goose story without laughing. When you think of him and you think of his countenance and his presence, you never spent time with him without laughing. Sometimes it was at yourself.
Yeah, no, he was going to make light of anything going on with you, him, or anybody else. He was going to make light of it. And those doggone crabs, and he didn't need the cracker or the mallets or anything to open up the doggone crab. He just bit through them. And it was a hilarious thing.
Well, recruiting him and what he meant for the team, and Brian and I went in a different tangent when we talked about him. Brian's quote when he died, and all of you were reached to very suddenly for quotes from the Ravens, and Brian's quote was, we wouldn't have won the Super Bowl without Goose. And I took that, and I really started thinking about my place in that, where the team was in 4-12 in 96, and where Brian found it, and what Goose's role in all of this was. And I really thought about that stage the other night, a month ago we were together, and what that stage would have been like without Goose there. With any other player, put anybody, John Ogden's a Hall of Famer, put him there. Just everything's a little different without Goose in the room, right?
No, yeah, you're right. Because, you know, you just talked about Purple Rain. And, I've read your books, but I had to put Goose's down after like two chapters because it was so full of crap. You know, I think Goose did everything. I think he snapped the ball. He played quarterback. He called every offensive play, every defensive play. After reading his book, he did it all. And again, it just made you laugh. That was another thing that just made you laugh, because his view of everything was so different than everybody else's.
Came in, and I think he had some, and this was part of your theme for Purple Rain 1. And by the way, I've just released chapter 11. They're all up. This went on. When I spent the evening with you guys, I realized ESPN's going to give this the treatment. And we'll talk about the historical perspective of all that, because it is different 20 years in when nobody's going to catch you. No one's ever going to be like that defense. No one's ever going to put together a season, especially as they add games to all this and they add offense to the league. It's never going to happen again. And ESPN came in, and I thought to myself, man, I didn't have a front row seat. I had a seat in the cockpit with people like you and Brian and David, and the access that I had, the information I had, the relationships I had, the live show, like all of that stuff that happened there. And I started to like re-release the book, and I was looking through pictures literally last week when Goose died for the second half of it. And I started to like go back and see the people and the personalities and putting this thing together. Marv, for the next 20 years of your life, or however 40 years, however long you're going to live, that defense is going to come back in some sort of Joe DiMaggio way now, right? Because of what you accomplished in Cincinnati, because of where Shannon is on TV and Trent Dilfer. And I mean, even the guys that weren't Hall of Famers like Goose and Dilfer really became stars. And over the last 20 years, there's been a piece of purple everywhere. Hell, the Washington Commanders have Jack still, right? I mean, there's Raven blood. There's that 35 blood all through all of this. And I think that the league and the history of the game is going to treat that team differently, not as a one-off champion with Trent Dilfer and no offense. It's going to be treated as a very, very special team because of the defense. And I think the ESPN 30 for 30 is going to magnify that in the way we think of Bears teams or the Steel Curtain teams. I think your team now for the next 20 years is going to be talked about in a different way than it's been talked about the last 20. I really believe that.
Well, I think when you look at it, I mean, those guys were special, and what they did, like you said, nobody will ever touch. To have, you know, in the regular season, give up 16 touchdowns in 16 games and then give one touchdown up in four playoff games, including the Super Bowl defense, you know, it is very special what those guys did during that season. And it was part of their battle cry. They did not want the other team to score. And you got to take your hat off to them, because that's the way they were. And that's giving up 35 to Jacksonville. And I can't remember how many the Jets at the end of the year when I was trying to knock Vinny out of the cockpit. So, you know, that's the thing, that those guys were just very special. How they went about their craft, how smart they were, how well they worked together. And the fact that they had a common bond of never letting the opponent score.
I'll never forget that projector down in Tampa, you and me at the Hyatt West Shore, sitting there watching film with Dwayne Starks, and you turned the projector off. You said, there's no way we're going to lose. And with that, I mean, have you ever had that kind of confidence in all the years? I mean, I know you won some and lost some in Cincinnati all those years, and you always think you're going to win a playoff game before the game starts, right? But the level of confidence that you felt in Tampa that week that you were going to win a Super Bowl, I've never seen anything or felt anything like it. I almost laughed at some of the Giants fans later that week after spending time with you and watching the film, even the way that they had dismantled the Vikings before that. But the level of confidence that came from that, I know we're here to talk about Goose, but Goose led with confidence. And I think it was very hard to be in a room and not think you wanted to be in a brawl with Goose on your side, not the other side.
Well, there's no question about it. You know, one of the things that Tony once did, and I can't remember which season it was, it may have been before the 99 season, his second year with us, where he asked if he could talk to the group the night before the opening ball game, which I think was against the Rams, if I have the correct night.
It'd be Brian's first game. Right. There you go.
Yeah. And, you know, and Goose, I mean, his very, you know, forthright in saying, hey, all this stuff we've been doing up until now, I hate that. You know, that sucks. But this is what we're here to do. And these were what counts on Sundays. And now we're to the regular season, and let's go. And that's the way he went about it. And like you said, he's one of the guys you could – he'd try to put the team on his back if he could, but extremely smart. They were an extension of the coaches out there on the field because we did things based on backfield sets and tendencies that the opponent had. And those guys were able to go out on the field and execute and handle it, you know, week in and week out.
Marvin Lewis is our guest, longtime defense coordinator here in Baltimore, and of course, longtime head coach of the Cincinnati Bengals, now out assisting the Arizona State crew. He and Brian are teammates again out there in Tempe. For Goose and for you coming in last month, speak to me a little bit about the ESPN 30 for 30. I mean, they called you. I'm assuming you guys were compensated. There was no media thing. I bought tickets. I sat and I watched the 3 hours, the confetti, the memories. I mean, it was really kind of an amazing thing. And to think of it as some sort of send off for Goose, you know, when that thing kind of came together, I didn't really even know what to expect when I showed up that night. And I didn't talk to any of you in advance for it. Run me through that experience, because I think a lot of people are waiting for the film now to come out. And I talked to Brian, I talked to Rod, obviously you're involved in it. Do you even know what to expect, what they're going to do and what they're going to focus on? Because I wrote a book about it 20 years ago, and as I re-release it, and my book was first person, my own diary. But if I had to write a third person treatment of it, it's a hell of a story. I mean, all, and the time, the distance now of the 20 years has treated it even more differently. ESPN called you. Give me just the, because I don't know much about it other than I showed up and I watched a very nice little ceremony, and now we've lost Goose.
Yeah, well, first off, Matt Little from the Ravens kind of handled everything. So he was the one, he was the contact person. He's the one who reached out to us and set everything up. And, you know, maybe if there was compensation, it hasn't come my way yet.
Oh, but, really? I didn't realize it was a charity visit. I just assumed, because some people weren't there and some were, that compensation was involved, because I figured they might have invited more people. Literally.
Yeah, no, I think, but they was first class. I mean, they took care of us as far as, you know, if you needed the flights and so forth that way. Unfortunately, I couldn't use their flight as much as I was, because I was already in Cincinnati. In order to get there, I had to get my own flight that way. But no, everything was done first class. I mean,
what was it though? Did you sit behind the scenes and do a mic'd up hour or two on your own? I'm trying to figure out what they're going to put together. Because the stage thing, Kevin sitting in for Sage, I mean, they could just put that on television. It was unbelievable. I mean, it was like an Oscars thing, you know?
Yeah, I hope we get, you know, I hope, they, you know, I know they were required. It would be love. You'd love to get the whole, you know, 2.5-3 hours, whatever we were up there. You'd love to have that whole thing just to go back and think about. I laughed because I remembered some of the stuff Brian said. I didn't remember all of it. And I had those videos.
And, do you remember F the Titans, or do you not remember that?
Yeah, I remember that.
Okay.
But you know, there was some other, you know, when we got to Tampa and so forth, there were some other things as well. And, you know, he put us out there. We had to cash some checks. And but that was Brian. And that's the fun thing about Brian and Coach. And he did such a great job. And it was really cool. So it was fun. Yeah. But we did some things, interviews from ESPN earlier in the day. Everybody had some time slots, and that was really good. And they're also doing a couple of separate features on some of the guys, and so they wanted to talk about those as well. So you know, they used their expense thoroughly to get everything out of us they could in that period of time. So. But it was just great to be back and to see, you know, to have a chance where we were there in the green room for about an hour and a half prior to the show to visit again, you know. And I visit with Ray from time to time and about different things. But I hadn't talked to Shannon in probably 2 or 3 years. So it was great to catch up with him. I talk with Rod all the time. I hadn't seen Jamal Lewis in forever, you know, Trent Dilfer in forever. So it was, you know, good to see some of those people that you don't have a chance to see as much as often. So that was really cool.
You know, in Goose's absence for the rest of these, you know, all of these reunions we're going to be having with Ring of Honor, just different things that happen here in Baltimore that we respect what the team did. And there'll be another set of all of this for the Flacco era and the Harbaugh era and all that. But, when I think about bringing everybody together in that way, and I think about what's left of all of it, right? There was the night, there was the memories, the money, the checks, the trophy, like all that's left are these reunions at this point. And to your point, you don't see Shannon Sharp every day and you're a part of something special. And when there's an excuse to bring people together, I've been at several of these where there are cocktails, it flows. Sometimes it goes better than others. Sometimes friends faction off and move on. But that thing a month ago, putting everybody on the stage and telling the grand story, Marvin, that wasn't even done 20 years ago. My book didn't even do as good a job of that. And I stayed up 5 months working on it. It really was an incredible couple of hours that I feel like if you were a part of it and don't get to see it or hear it, it would be a shame because I learned a ton that night and I wrote a book on it. But more than that, it was in the right spirit of things. And I felt bad that there weren't more people there or more people to experience it. And that's why I thought it was kind of the ultimate storytelling. Missing a few people, Ogden, a couple of other obviously key characters. But I thought Matt Stover would have been a great addition to that too for storytelling. But I thought it was the ultimate storytelling. There will never be another night like that night. And I didn't realize that showing up. I just thought, oh, shish, bomb, boom. I'm going to be a Ravens fan. It's going to be nice. I cried. I mean, it all came back to me that night.
Yeah. I mean, you're right. Like Stove, J.O., you know, Stove, who was in Cleveland, J.O. with Hook, along with Ray, you know, was part of the Zenith, you know, from Out of the Ashes.
I want to see Peter there too. I mean, I saw Femi and Jamie was there. There are a lot of people there. I'm just saying there might not ever be another one, anything like that with storytelling for people. For you guys to get together, have a couple drinks, that's beautiful. But for the fans, that might be it.
But that was the essence of the football team. And like you said, you wish everybody was there because there's three wide receivers that were huge contributors. Ben Coates, Sam Gash, along with Shannon on offense, Priest, Jamal. Look at the defensive guys. We had 17, 18, 19 defensive guys who played significant snaps that year, as well as the young guys like an Adalius Thomas and so forth, who were just there as rookies. And, that was the essence of the team. Robert Bailey, James Trapp, Corey Harris, you know, those guys who – Anthony Poindexter, Anthony Mitchell, Larry Webster, Lionel Hall, all those guys,
Keith Washington,
the linebacker we got from, played at Utah, who had played for the Chiefs, who was the sixth man, OJ Brigance, obviously, so many guys that we had, Cornell Brown, that were significant contributors to that team. And that's the cool thing. And that's why those guys have such a bond still today. You know, I spent probably a half an hour on the phone yesterday with Rob Burnett and Rob and Goose were probably the closest of all. And it's just, you know, it really hurt Rob, you know, the passing of Goose, cause that was his man, that was his dude. And those two were thick as thieves.
I saw them. The last time I saw them together was at Ray's induction, and they were thick as thieves. And I almost forgot how thick they were until I had to reread my book a little bit. And I realized, man, they were Rob Burnett and Tony Siragusa attached at the hip. And I don't think a lot of people knew that. I don't think everybody knew that, but we knew that.
No, they didn't. And that's the thing, you know. And like you said, at Ray's induction, I'm trying to think time, you know, when Goose was still doing his golf outings, the golf outings I used to host for our foundation, you know, and those dudes used to show up. And it was just so great to see him. Dwayne Starks, Chris McAllister, Kim Herring. I mean, these guys, you know, they would show up together and they would just recount their memories and have a good time together. And that's the fun of it, you know, and that's what, you know, you try to for obviously being a head coach for the time I was, you try to explain to your football team every year as you get into the playoffs what winning a championship means and how special that feeling is, and that nobody can ever take that away from you. And that's why you got whatever you got inside you, you got to lay it all out there, because winning there's no other sport that is such a team sport like the National Football League. And every year, the best football team gets to hoist that trophy. Not the best players, but the best football team.
Marvin Lewis with words of wisdom here, and certainly paying tribute to the Goose, Tony Siragusa. We lost him last week. We'll probably be talking about him for the rest of our lives. I don't think there's any doubt about that. And I do think the real sadness, aside from obviously all of it, his family and all that, and whenever you all get together, there's going to be just there's a hole in that team now in a way that, you know, when Brian said we wouldn't have won the Super Bowl without him, I don't think there's anybody in the team that wouldn't agree with that. There's nobody who would take Goose's efforts away from that team and believing, yeah, we'd have been all right if he wasn't there in January. You wouldn't have been all right.
No, there's no question. I mean, the fact that how smart those guys were, and they were such an extension of the coaches out on the field with the game plan. And
by the way, Woodson's already come on this week and said, you called some bad defenses in 98, 99. He said the defenses got better in 2000 is what he said.
We'll get to critique Coach Rod here in a few months.
Coach Rod said, Marv, you can't make that call. And I can hear him saying it.
He did. He we were playing Arizona Cardinals out there in Phoenix, and there was a crucial fourth down, and there was a timeout call. And he came over. He said, Marv, I don't like that. He said, let's call this. And sure enough, he wanted the hat on his head. And that's the kind of guys you want to have on your football team.
Well, your recruitment of the champion players, I've had Brian on this week. I've had Coach Rod on, my favorite Hall of Famer. No disrespect to any of the other Hall of Famers, but I love me some Rod. And it's very, very unfortunate we're getting together under these circumstances. I hope we get together and Arizona State's whatever in zero when we get together and the 30 for 30. Do you have any idea when this thing's coming out, when we should be looking for it?
I really don't. No, I haven't heard anything, so... maybe, you know, I think maybe probably the people from the Ravens will hear first and we'll know from there.
Well, in the end, we still won and it was a hell of a lot of fun. And I'm grateful and for all the experiences. And for anybody that missed Purple Rain 1 the first time around, Purple Rain 1, Purple Rain 2, I'm releasing them. And Marvin, it's interesting, all these years later, the book didn't have a lot of pictures in it. I had a handful of pictures. I released the book. All these years later, one of the amazing things is this piece right here forever gets to live in the middle of the book now online, right? They can click, hear stories, see pictures, videos, hear all the old tales, all the barn tapes that I have them all on tape. They've all been inserted into Purple Rain. So the night with Trent Dilfer before the playoffs, all that stuff's up there. Sam Adams said the next time we get together, the Tennessee Titans, we're going to kill them. And he said that to me in October. So all of those things are out there. And I'm just grateful for our relationship all these years later. What's going on with Arizona State, man? You everything cool? We're getting back. You're going to have ball players back in a couple of weeks, right?
Yeah, we got a few weeks. We're here in South Carolina on vacation right now at the beach and enjoying it. And three grandsons and a whole family. So just enjoying some time right now. And then we'll get back to doing football here soon.
Are you wasting a good beach day on the golf course?
Actually, today was a little overcast, a little rainy this morning, but no golf today. We just had a little beach and pool.
I know you're going to find this hard to believe, but I got together with your one-time colleague and boss, Coach Billick, who is golfing. He says 3.5 days a week. My guess is more like 5. And is there any human you've ever met, and you've known him a long time, who was least likely to become a golfer than Brian Billick? Seriously.
When I heard he was playing golf, I almost fell over.
When he says golf to me, he speaks about it in radiuses now, and he's like all scientific about it. I'm like, you're 6'7". You didn't pick up a golf club for 67 years. What are you thinking? He loves golf. I don't. It must be addictive to some people. Once you get to be 60, you have to tell me, Marv. Once you're over 60, do you get addicted to these sort of things or no?
Well, it's so it's so competitive because every swing is new. Half the time. And that's the thing, when you didn't play it as a kid. So you're just trying. And when you're a competitive person, you're just trying to perfect it better, you know, each shot, each day, a little better than the last. And he's got the bug big time. He really does. And Mike Smith told me that. So they literally came to when they were actually out in Arizona for a little vacation they had planned. And we all went and played golf. So it was a lot of fun.
You played golf with Brian. You saw him hold a club.
How did it go? He got a great little compact swing. You know, he did it the way Brian would do it. You know, he went right and got an instructor and everything and got the lessons, and they taught him a little compact swing, you know, kind of reduce all that, the different leverage angles he's got when you're so tall like that. So he did a great job.
Marv, keep hitting them straight. Appreciate your time. Love you. Hope to see you again soon. Never take anything for granted, obviously, that night with Goose. And hopefully we'll get together sometime soon here and talk about old times, because that's all we do, right?
That's right. Look forward to it.
Appreciate you. Marvin Lewis, he is the former head coach at Cincinnati Bengals, always our Ravens defense coordinator of the Super Bowl 35 champions. As it says in Purple Rain 1, the greatest defense ever. So, exclamation point, the ESPN for 30 for 30 will be coming out soon enough. And I will be having some crab cakes and some Maryland scratch off tickets with us at Costas Inn in Dundalk next Thursday. We'll be there from 1 to 4. Stop by, say hello. I am Nestor. We are WNST AM 1570 Towson, Baltimore, and we never stop talking Baltimore positive.